in America and on social media, there's quite a bit of misinformation out there about nutrition and how we should be eating. You know, I think most of those supplements and juice cleanses are just money-making schemes when actually just eating healthy is not very expensive at all.
Good day. Welcome to Ripples, Physicians Wellbeing, a space to discuss coping with stressors while training in the field of medicine and tips for overall wellness.
Learn more about the Wellness Home Services at gmuwellness.utesca.edu. And don't forget to subscribe to stay updated with new episodes wherever you enjoy podcasts. Hello, Veena. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Excited to be here with another wonderful guest here.
We're back again, and welcome back to our audience. Today, we're actually continuing a very important conversation. We started talking about nutrition last time and the connection with wellness, especially for physicians, residents, fellows. So we're continuing that conversation today.
Yes, for that, we have a very special person here. Dr. Vidya Iluri, she's an endocrinologist, and she would be starting a practice in complete medicine. Yes, and so excited to have you.
And I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much for coming.
And you were very passionate about sharing recipes, and I have seen recipes in Doctor's Pantry and some wonderful recipes. And I also know you're preparing the little ones, already becoming chefs.
Yes.
So all that, we would love to get some input from you. So this is a podcast for how we can support our residents in their wellness journey. So we have some questions for you, and please feel to share your knowledge with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have so many questions for you. I have struggled myself with several endocrine issues, and you know, it's in my family, my mom, my aunts, my sister, my daughter is in the same boat, on the same boat. So what are the most common concerns you see among residents, fellows? You went through this process too, so.
Absolutely. You know, when I was a medical student and a resident, one thing that I didn't do enough of was self-care. And I think that it's funny because medical students and residents, they are learning to take care of the health of others. And really, my co-residents, my co-medical students and I, we rarely thought about doing that for ourselves. And it was terrible. I mean, most of us were in our 20s, so you kind of feel like you're invincible. Like, I can stay up all night. I can just be caffeinated. It's fine. On my days off, we're just going to go out and party, let's be honest. Yeah. But in retrospect, when I did my endocrinology fellowship, so this is, you know, my internal medicine residency, then I went to endocrine fellowship. That's when I had my son during fellowship, and then I realized how much good sleep and nutrition and movement, exercise, impacted the way that I was able to perform as a fellow in the hospital and in the clinic. And I really wish that I had paid more attention to those things when I was in training, because I didn't. And I really think I would have felt better and had performed better had I did. So I think that it's really important for our students and residents to think about themselves, because you can only care for others if you yourself are healthy and well-rested.
Yes, and we sometimes even wear it as a badge of honor to say, oh, I didn't even eat, I didn't even sleep, I've been doing this, and it turns out it shouldn't be a badge of honor.
It shouldn't be.
See, that's why we are having this podcast. Yeah. So now, this is something we do very actively with our residents. Say, have you taken care of yourself? You need to take care of yourself. So
I'm so glad.
You brought us to the point exactly right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you answered my question about how it was when you were doing a residency. In retrospect, you also said that I wish I had taken care of myself. Mm-hmm. So knowing what you have seen and what are, you know, how it was, what are some diets that you recommend?
Yeah.
On the days that you're really stressed out, and there are some days you feel down, and some normal days, regular days. What are some things you recommend?
Yeah, so the healthiest diet that I try to adhere by and that I recommend really pretty much to all my patients, whether they have metabolic disease or they don't, or kids or adults, like everyone, every single human, is a whole food plant-based diet. So this is a diet that's rich in legumes, so like beans and lentils, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, so things like brown rice, oatmeal, quinoa, and then, you know, your nuts and your seeds. So when you hear about all the things that I listed off, you're like, okay, she's recommending a vegan diet. And it doesn't have to be that strict. You know, I think that if somebody focuses on like 60 to 70 or even more percent of their diet is from the whole food plant-based, from that category, then they're going to do better. So nobody has to be 100% perfect, but those are the types of foods you should choose from for optimal health. And that's, I mean, the more you read about that type of diet and how it helps patients and just people, whether you're old or you're young, whether you're healthy or you have a chronic illness, it will keep you healthy. It will help reverse chronic illness. So that's really what I recommend to most people. And that's what I try to follow myself.
As a follow-up question, in your practice, do you, when you see a lot of residents or physicians, what are some common concerns that they come to you?
You know, I do get a lot of nutrition questions because I think, especially now in America and on social media, there's quite a bit of misinformation out there about nutrition and how we should be eating, what the timing of what we should do, should I buy supplements? Like, you know, there's so much, unfortunately, money making to be made on this. It's all over social media. There's always some diet, some program, some new book, some new supplement that you can buy. So that's one of the biggest questions I get from our residents, because I'm sure patients are asking them in clinic like, hey doc, I bought this supplement on Amazon. It said it's going to cure my diabetes, or it says it's going to fix my thyroid. What do you think? Should I buy this? Should I take it? And then if it isn't in the internal medicine like Harrison textbook, you know, yeah, we don't all, we have to like, yeah, read about that. Like, what is that? What's, yes, the supplement? Where did you find this? So I think that's one of the biggest questions I get is like, how do you handle these questions? Well, is there something to these supplements? Should I be taking it? Should I tell my patients to be taking it? Those nutrition kind of questions always come across. So what I would say is nothing beats a healthy diet. And I think that's, you know, something here in America, especially, that people try to outdo the unhealthy diet. They try to outdo a night of staying out late and drinking by taking the supplement, doing the cleanse, doing the juice cleanse, or, you know, doing this 60-minute HIIT exercise. Like, I can be unhealthy for a week and have poor sleep and drink and eat all the processed foods if I do a juice cleanse next week and do 60-minute HIIT exercises every day. That's not true. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, I think most of those supplements and juice cleanses are just money-making schemes when actually just eating healthy is not very expensive at all.
So it's more about what we do every day.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
What you were saying, the 80%, 90% mm-hmm. of the time. If that's the case, you know, we know that institutions across the country are trying to improve the quality of food that they offer in the cafeteria. And this is what our residents and fellows usually mm-hmm. have.
That's where they're eating.
So what do you recommend to the institution, but also to the residents and fellows?
Yeah. So I think that's fantastic, you know, because here's the thing. I mean, something that I do every day, but I'm able to do this as an adult, you know, or as an adult physician and in the outpatient setting, is I pack my lunch every day. You know, I couldn't do it as a resident. I think there were some days that I could, but, you know, the residents listening to this would be like, easy for her to say she packs her lunch every day because she, like, has a refrigerator at her job where our residents are, like, running around the ICU, right?
Yes.
So, you know, that is fantastic that they are serving healthy options in the cafeteria, but it doesn't have to be complicated. Like, if you make yourself a healthy plate where 3/4 of it, or like half of it, is green vegetables, 1/4 of it is a complex carbohydrate. So when I say complex carbohydrate, I mean, you know, the brown rice or the whole grains. And then the other 1/4 of it is like a lean protein. So if we're plant-based, we're talking beans and lentils. Or if you do a little bit of meat, you do like a lean chicken or fish. So if you kind of pay attention to those portions, then you're going to do right by yourself. And the drink of choice is water.
Mm-hmm. No caffeine.
I mean, a little bit of caffeine is okay, yeah. But I think the biggest problem with is these like big, huge, like coffee cups with all the sugar in them, and it's like you're drinking dessert, basically.
Yes,
true. Yeah. Yes. So in a way, I hear that it's okay to be a flexitarian. It doesn't have to be just 100% vegetarian, yeah. But you can be adaptive,
exactly.
Right?
And I think the reason. You know, and I think if you want to be 100%, go for it. But we also want it to be sustainable for everyone, right? And I think at least when I'm advising my own patients is if I say, well, there's nothing else. You have to be whole food plant-based and go home and throw away everything from your refrigerator. They're not going to do it. Yeah. No one's going to do it. But if you make small changes over time, it adds up and you feel better. So even if it's, if you're advising someone who really, you know, is struggling with choosing healthy foods or doesn't even know where to start, it's like, okay, well, take whatever you had for dinner yesterday, you know, and take half of that, but then fill the other half of your plate with like steamed veggies or green leafies, leafy greens, or you know, crowd out your plate with healthy foods, and maybe 1 week do it for lunch every day, and then the next week try to add it for lunch and dinner, and then every week maybe add like something else to your grocery list that you can put on that plate, and then before you know it, after 2 months, you've added 100 different plants to your diet.
Yeah. Sounds like the theme is small changes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do everything, again, ripples, like small changes will make a big wave, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a big talk about intermittent fasting. Everyone does that. But sometimes being in residency and they're in like 9-hour surgery is just, it's going to be very hard on them. And then they end up not eating healthy.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Right. So intermittent fasting, there's a couple different flavors of intermittent fasting. So one type, and I think the most common that I see people doing is the time-restricted eating. So one of the most common ways I see this being done is people will fast for 16 hours and then they have their meals within an 8-hour time period. So for example, if somebody decided that their feeding window was between 9 and 5, they could have their, you know, breakfast at 9, lunch around 12, you know, dinner at 4:30, and then they'd be done around 5, and then they wouldn't have anything and no calories between 5 and 9 p.m. the next day. Some people like to do between noon and 8 just because socially that makes more sense because everyone sits for dinner, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Another type of intermittent fasting is called alternate day fasting, so ADF. And in this type of fasting, people will have like the normal amount of calories, maybe like 4 days a week, but then 3 days a week, they may limit it to 500 calories or less, something like that.
Oh.
So these are kind of the two types of intermittent fasting that you'll see people doing and that have been studied. It's interesting when you look at the results of these studies because there are some benefits, but we have to look at why. So firstly, when you put people on these diets, you can see a reduction in weight. So anywhere from like 3 to 8% weight reduction. You can see an improvement in insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. So people who have type 2 diabetes, you know, you can actually see improvements in their metabolic health there. And then we've also seen there's been reductions in cholesterol with this type of diet. And then there's a couple of like hypotheses of why this is. So there's like the fed and there's the fed state of our bodies and then the fasting state of our bodies. So when we're fed, we generally use glucose for energy, whether it's whatever we've just eaten or our liver stores glucose in the form of glycogen, and we're using that for energy. But then after about 12 to 14 hours, our glycogen stores deplete, and then we start using ketones for energy. So when this happens, there are some beneficial effects. So some anti-aging effects, a reduction of inflammation. So that's why this is kind of like a hot topic, because people are like, wow, what is this thing that we can do to improve our metabolic health?
Sure.
So it's all very interesting, and there are short-term studies showing at least there are short-term results, but it all has to be taken with a grain of salt, like you said. So if someone uses intermittent fasting, but then they just binge during their 8 hours of feeding and they eat all of the unhealthy foods, that does nothing, right? Yeah. So if you're like watching your clock and you're like, it's noon, and then you get your donut, you get your McDonald's, you get your fries, you get your burger, that's not going to help. But I also think one thing is to be just kind of mindful of like when you're hungry and are you actually hungry? Because I definitely think it's our societal culture to just kind of be having something in your hand that's caloric dense all the time. Mm-hmm. You wake up, you get your Frappuccino, then you've got your donut, then there's like another coffee that you're just like walking around and sipping like all day while you're in the hospital during rounds, right? And then you have like a sweet tea in the afternoon that you're like sipping on while you're at your desk working. So that is a good thing, I think, with intermittent fasting. It's like, hey, we actually don't need to be ingesting calories all day long.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. Now, in terms of residents that have weird schedules, though, I think that it's more important to just like be nourished with healthy foods and to get your energy for these long surgeries or, you know, these long days of rounds. So when I saw the list of questions, I was just thinking back to my residency. So we would do these 36-hour calls, and it was just so intense, right? Like you had the pager, it was going off all night, nobody slept, like I mean, it was just crazy. And then finally the next morning when you handed off your admission pager and then your attending came in for rounds, they would always bring in Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
So, and it was just kind of this like, we were exhausted. It was like this emotional like release, like, the donuts. But then you realize you're using the donuts to like buffer your emotion. And then it's like this reward. It's not actually good for anybody, but that's what we did.
Oh yeah. You put it so well. That's what happens, right?
Yeah.
Yes. It happens so often.
And then you just kind of like physically feel bad too. Like, yes. I think I felt like terrible during rounds. Cause all I did was like, I didn't eat all night. And then I just had a sugar fat bomb in the morning with caffeine. And then I was like rounding, and I think I was like sweating with palpitations, but I just ignored it.
Just keep going.
Yeah, I was just like, keep going. And I'm glad things are changing now because, you know, rest and nutrition of residents is actually really important.
It is.
We don't just need to feed them donuts so they can keep going.
Yes. Even water, we sometimes remind them, are you drinking water?
Exactly. Water. And sometimes I feel like they don't drink water, or I feel like that's what I did because, I mean, it takes too long to go to the bathroom. So if you skip the water, then you can just keep going, right? It is terrible.
Let me ask you, I did mention that I don't even know how to cook without meat.
Yeah.
And Vina, you had mentioned before that you have
a blog.
Website?
Yeah.
A blog?
Yes.
Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, so I started it, at this point, I think maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. It's called Dr. Ellery's Pantry. And right now it's probably the best way to see it is on Instagram or Facebook because it's just easy to post there and it's like digestible posts. So I post mostly like plant-based nutrition, and full disclosure, I am mostly plant-based, occasionally a little fish, not often, maybe like once a week. And then if I'm out and about on vacation at someone's home and dairy makes it into my dish, I don't make a big deal about it. So okay, that's kind of...
You're a total flexitarian.
Yes,
right?
Total flexitarian.
That's good.
And so I post mostly plant-based recipes. And the reason I do it is to just say, hey, these are simple meals that you can come up with. You know, some of it can be complicated and I spent 2 hours doing it, but most of it I've done in 30 minutes or less. So like quick meals, get dinner on the table, and they're simple enough that anyone can do it. The other thing is just getting my kids kind of involved in the cooking process as well. So I'm a mom of 2. My son is 9 and my daughter will be 7 next week. So just kind of getting them included. I also, just on there, I have a kid's cookbook, and they helped make it, actually. So it was just, they helped color the illustrations, and it was like super simple recipes.
Recipes are great. That's how I came to know about this doctor's pantry.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vidya. So we'll make sure to put a link to the Instagram in the episode description so everybody can get.
Yeah, there are some great recipes.
Oh, thank you.
So I think it's also fun to try them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you've given us so much information. Like we always ask our guests, what's the pebble you're going to leave with us today? And that's the one that's going to be presented in social media. Hopefully, people will access that much more than what are they going to look for, gut microbiome,
exactly,
quick fixes.
Right, exactly. And I think for our residents, please take a moment to stop and think about yourself and think about caring for yourself, because you can only care for your patients. You can only learn about those diseases that you're reading about. You can only learn your surgical techniques if you are well rested and well nourished. So please make time to sleep. Take time to do your hobbies, whether it be walking or exercising or playing a musical instrument, taking time to socialize, and try to pick healthy food when you go to the cafeteria. Try to pack food when you're in clinic. And then drink lots of water.
Wonderful.
But, you know, if you can get, and I know it may not be every day, but on the days that you can, 7 to 9 hours of sleep.
Yes. Wonderful.
That's what's recommended. Wonderful.
This has been such an important conversation. Thank you so much. I know it's going to be valuable for our residents and fellows and physicians, faculty in general. And now we just take your pebble and go create some ripples. Ripples Physicians Well-Being is made possible by the Joe R. and Teresa Lozano Long School of Medicine Office for Graduate Medical Education. To contact us or learn more about the Wellness Home, visit gmewellness.utesca.edu.
This podcast is inspired by the Dalai Lama's powerful quote, "Just as ripples spread out when a single pebble is dropped into water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effects." We provide physicians with pebbles, tangible and actionable practices that can help make positive impacts in their personal and professional lives.